You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to Earth Station One, a weekly podcast dedicated to all things sci-fi, fantasy, and much, much more. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Is he? An hour and a half late?
They're gonna start eating each other out there.
Whew. Your commander is on deck.
For years...
Never give up. Never surrender.
The cast of Galaxy Quest have played the same parts.
Never give up.
Never surrender.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
I will say that stupid line one more time.
Their careers were bravely going...
By Grabthar's hammer.
Nowhere.
What a savings.
Until...
You are our last hope.
Their biggest fans...
I must say that standing here in your presence is the greatest honor we could ever have hoped to achieve.
Requested a command performance.
Hey, where's my limo?
Have studied every facet of your missions and strategies.
We are actors, not astronauts.
You will save us.
That was a hell of a thing.
This Christmas.
Laredo, take us out.
You gotta move to the right.
Would you sit your ass down? You wanna drive just to...
They're not just acting like heroes.
The whole thing was just a misunderstanding.
They must become heroes.
They look like little children. Hi, little guy.
Oh, darn.
DreamWorks Pictures presents Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, Galaxy Quest.
You're just gonna have to kill it.
Well, go for the mouth, the throat, his vulnerable spots.
It's a rock, it doesn't have any vulnerable spots.
Okay, here we go. Three, two, one. Stand up.
Rick? Stand up.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mike Faber. We are recording this as a live episode of the Earth Station One podcast, and we are here to talk about the 1999 classic Galaxy Quest. And let's introduce our guests here. Of course, my name is Mike Faber. To my left is my co-host, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
And we have a couple friends of ours joining us over on the left.
That's Will Nix.
Next.
Darren Noel.
Tara Newman.
Jen Adams.
Thank you all for joining us. And the way we do our panels here is interactive. We talk to you guys. We want you guys to talk back, ask questions. So please, let's all get involved with this. Can you believe this movie is 20 years old?
No.
It's just amazing. Yeah. I was watching it last week, and probably it felt like this is fresh still. This could be done today. And I was laughing my ass off through the whole movie going. And in my head...
It's almost like someone could produce a TV series.
It's true.
Like... That would air on Fox and then get canceled and moved to Hulu.
Wait, this isn't the Orville?
No. not yet.
Not yet.
Exactly. This is the prequel.
Okay.
The prequel.
The prequel.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
It's also the second best Star Trek movie ever made.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Rathacon.
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. I always describe my wife and I talk about it. It's Nimoy's nightmare and Shatner's dream. It's like, yeah! I'm ready!
That is so true.
It is, isn't it?
No, it is actually incredibly true.
I'm writing a paper on that one. Thank you. It'll be published next week.
Well, it's interesting because it takes stuff from each era of Star Trek.
Yeah.
It doesn't just focus on the original series, too.
Yeah, it has a shot of Whedon with just, poor Will, the kid character. You know,
and then of course.
Growing up, hating everything about it.
But then you also have Seven of Nine.
Yes.
And then you also have, of course,
Uhura.
Patrick Stewart
and
Uhura.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes down the list, everything. And it's just, it was so brilliantly done. And there was a rumor years ago saying that this was originally written for the original cast, but it was disproven and everything.
It'd be perfect. They should have done it. I mean, it would have been the best movie.
Do you really think Shatner would have done that?
Making fun of himself?
No way.
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. Would he gotten paid?
Yes. How big is the check?
Have you seen his resume?
Nimoy never would have done it, though.
But Nimoy would not have.
He would have complained the whole time they were filming.
It would have been a mess.
Nimoy would have done it if he could have directed.
Yeah, probably.
I'll direct my own back.
You got a good point there. But that was kind of the cool thing about it, because this was almost every Trekkie's dream. Everything from the convention scenes to, you know, them coming out onto the stage, and then at the very end, you know, when the ship breaks through at the convention, and it's like, wouldn't we love that if that would have happened here at DragonCon?
I think I'd have a heart attack. I think I'd literally have a heart attack.
It's the Enterprise!
A roundabout crashes through the Marriott.
It's the saucer section. What do you mean?
True.
But it was great, and the casting was done so well for this. And
how about keeping a PG rating when you knew that you had something gold that people would still watch, enjoy, and you show it? Because my favorite scene, of course, is when Sigourney Weaver says, "This," and then they just redub it, and it's like, "Oh, okay, no one's gonna notice." But
more to the point, it was a PG rating with Sigourney Weaver falling out of her costume,
right, the entire time.
And it was just so much fun just seeing the episodes, you know, because you could see, you know, when they talked about all the different episodes, oh wait, that was a Star Trek story, or, and everything, and it was just a lot of fun how they handled it and everything.
I love reading the story about Patrick Stewart being taught to go see it by Jonathan Frakes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Stewart's like, I want to enjoy. He goes, yeah, you will. He goes, oh my God, I was crying. I was laughing so hard. They're making fun of all of us.
Well, and the fact that he went and saw it with a full theater.
Yeah.
He got to experience everyone laughing and realizing that it wasn't making fun of them.
It was honoring.
Like, it's celebrating it.
It's making fun of Shatner, but...
Well, yeah. But that's the only reason this worked at all. Like, this movie, if it had even aired a little bit on the side of being mean, it
wouldn't have
fallen
worked.
Apart.
It would not have worked.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, as a diehard Star Trek fan, I did not see this in the theater.
Really?
Because because I was...
You thought I was mocking you.
Call me thin-skinned, but I was like...
I do that all the time.
I got waves from things I was hearing, and I just did not think it was going to be something I would enjoy.
Right.
I thought it was going to really take the piss out of it, really. So, so it wasn't until it, you know, was available and at home and everything like that I saw it, and I was like, oh, there's nothing to worry about. This is actually fun. But yeah, because it is not mean-skinned.
No.
It is...
Before we go any further, has anyone in here not seen the movie?
Oh, that's a great
Please
question.
Leave. Spoiler.
I don't think those three have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're new.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think
you said those three.
He's too little.
But we do have a minor in here, so, you know.
Minor.
Exactly.
No, he's so confident. Can you guys stand up just so that everyone can see how amazing this is?
This is awesome.
What gets me is that, you know, that they didn't do more with it. I mean, I know they tried the TV series that failed, but they didn't hit on the immediate... It wasn't like it was a dead movie when it came out. It was pretty successful upon release.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've also been two comic book series based off
right.
of it.
Right. And so why didn't we get another film? Why didn't we get something better than the series out of it? Because it was worth it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's still a lot of material to do there. The Next Generation jokes alone that were coming would have been awesome.
But isn't that the Orville?
It really is.
Yeah, it really is.
But they could have gone to DS9 or the Voyager. Voyager is an Enterprise. Those two right there
the
alone.
The prequel to the...
Well,
and they
on.
Could have the rockin' theme song, just like Enterprise.
Then you're starting to get mean-spirited.
Yeah. That's just rotten right there.
Anything would have improved Enterprise.
Yeah, not showing Enterprise. Enterprise.
Great actors, just bad.
Great actors.
Bad writing.
The fourth season was good. just saying it.
That's saying a lot,
well,
though.
They basically reinvented the series with fourth.
I know.
But we're going off topic, so... Yes. Shocker for our podcast, you know.
We're not auctioning anyone, so we're good.
We're ramblers.
Exactly. Well, let's, you know... So Mike Gordon did not go see it. Did anyone up here actually go see it in the theater?
I think I did.
I did.
Yeah.
I
did not. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, it was a must see for me because it's like for a Star Trek fan growing up, and it was just like, all right, we got to go see this, and it was just like because we didn't know at the time really what other Star Trek we'd be getting.
No, we're at the end there, right? I mean, yeah. We're at the end of the run.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of scary.
Exactly, and they kept on saying, oh, we're going to try to do this, try to do that. But it was just nowhere. And seeing Galaxy Quest was like almost like a love letter to it. And it was like, thank you for all the years of Star Trek. Let's finish it up with a good laugh.
Right.
And that's what was pretty awesome
about
it.
Then we launched Enterprise and made you all mad.
You had to bring that up.
Sorry.
He likes to poke.
I know he does. Mm-hmm. I work with him all the time.
He's always a poker.
Yes, we know.
I'm talking about poking. Good gosh.
But it's interesting, and I loved how they did the characters. For me, I think the standout was Sam Rockwell.
Oh.
You know.
Guy is everyone's favorite.
Guy was awesome.
Guy is the future villain.
Exactly. Yeah.
Guy's the future villain?
If they'd have made a sequel, we'd have found out that Guy was the bad guy all along.
No, he's the secret
hero. Right,
honey?
I'd say my wife's back there. She's going to kill me if I didn't.
He's the secret hero.
No.
I'd say a close second, though,
it
would be Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, Tony.
Yeah. Tony Shalhoub steals
well,
the movie.
Tony was awesome because he was stoned.
Yes.
The whole
yes.
It was like, yeah, dude, that's awesome. Oh, by the way.
Bring it in.
Hey, man, they're telling me this.
And for him to be playing an Asian character on the TV, it was like, oh, my God.
It's so 60s TV. I mean, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And had him with the slanted eyes.
Yes.
And it made sense why he had slanted eyes during this movie, because he was stoned.
The
whole time. He was just trying to see daylight, you know.
Oh, the alien love scene, though. That's so
And Sam Rockwell's reaction to it, guys, was like, because at first he thought, oh, this is cute. And then he was like, oh.
Where's that typical going? You know?
Exactly.
And some of you may experience this here with your roommates in the hotel room. You're going to walk in and go, oh.
Welcome to Dragon Con.
Don't do what he did. Don't
or
stay
you'll
and
a corner
watch.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Something will surprise you.
This was a go to see.
Been there, done that last night. Thank you.
But the cast makes you want to go to see this at the theater.
Oh, I would definitely.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Allen, at really his peak of popularity.
Yeah, because...
It's certainly one of his better movie roles.
Yeah,
one of his better movie roles, but no one ever wanted to see him shirtless.
Yes.
No.
I think we can all agree on that.
But that was... We didn't really want to see Shatner shirtless either.
Yeah, exactly.
It had to be done.
And I loved it how Alan Rickman, oh, of course, you're losing your shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
The play between the two of them was just so awesome.
And Rickman's character could have totally torpedoed the whole movie.
Oh, God.
Had Rickman not prepared himself properly for the role.
And not just that, just making sure that he played off him, having that foil to play off of.
And I love how in the whole movie you do not see him without the prosthetic head.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Even at his apartment. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's what he's going to wear it the next day. He's not putting that back on.
I totally forgot.
You are wearing that all con.
Yeah, you take it off.
Don't take it off.
Not like
I want to see the hair sticking out Monday.
That's what was so easy about this was I didn't have to make it look exactly.
Yeah.
No, but from moment one, you see the two of them together from when he walks in to the green room and he's like, am I late for Alexander's panic attack? Guess not. You know exactly the type of relationship they have.
They knew each other. Of course he's late. Oh, he's doing a signing without us? Of course he is. You know?
No, you look at that and you go, that was how Nimoy and Shatner had to be because of how just...
Different they were.
So it's like there's that homage again to two people that we love and respect out of shows, but you're having fun with it, but not being mean. Like they hate each other at the end. No, they come together at the end.
And it pretty much was the same thing as everyone against Shatner. So,
right. Oh, yes.
On the cast.
That was like watching the roast of Bill Shatner before the roast of Bill Shatner. Yeah. That was mean.
That was ugly.
George Takei, I mean, that whole 10-minute rant just...
And that was what was great about it. They knew each other so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it when they thought, you know, he was BSing. I saw there's a child here. That's the only reason I didn't say the other word.
Yeah, I saw you that. Know? I'm having to watch my tongue.
Exactly. And so I saw, you know, that, you know, when he actually made it up to the ship and he was so hungover, he just thought it was some fan thing that they were at. Throw it at him. Oh, just fire the red and yellow, the red and blue lasers at him. It'll be okay.
Red particle lasers, blue particle lasers, and throw this at him, fire at it.
Exactly. And okay, take me. I'm going back to Earth.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done.
I think, and I don't know, I trust this was intentional because my favorite part of Tim Allen's performance when I was rewatching this the other night. That was because it was on, you know, high def, which we didn't have 20 years ago, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm watching it, and I'm like, wow, they made his hair look like a hairpiece.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They did.
That was a shot. No, that was a shot. I mean, yeah. In the girdle, and I mean, just everything else. You're like, okay, all right, we know Shatner would fit. Come on, all right.
And that was, it was just fun all the way through. And I loved it when they got onto the spaceship and he had to fly it out for the first. You want me to pull it out? It's like, what? Exactly. That way. And everyone's like, going, everyone's leaning towards it.
We get the whole room ready. And
Because we've all been there.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting too close to that wall. You're getting too.
Teaching your kid how to drive out of the garage.
Yes. I know.
New paint job.
Exactly.
New stinker job.
No. Exactly. Right. That's okay. That clutch didn't cost too much. You know. So, and there's just. I just loved it, and Guy's reaction to everything. I'm going to be the one to die. I know it. I don't even, do you know my last name?
Because I don't have one.
I don't have one.
My favorite part of that is when he's so paranoid, like he's, and Sigourney Weaver's trying to talk him down before the mission, and then when everything goes, you know, crazy, and they're running back to the ship.
Oh my God, they're going to kill Guy.
She goes, come on, hurry up. Oh my God, they're going to, before they kill Guy. Oh my God. Unbelievable. It's like that was so funny. It's so subtle.
I like when he's reaching Alan Rickman just goes, are we there yet?
And that was great. And it was just the subtleties and everything. And I loved like when they were when Alan Rickman and Tim Allen's character were fighting but from the airlock.
Right.
You know, episode 71, and they were like, wait, 71, that's the one where I died. No.
Why does it matter?
No, episode 13, that's it, 13, sorry.
Yeah, I like how they had all the references as if every character knew every show that they were ever in. It's like, we know exactly what line I had on page 3, and you took that line from me, you know?
But it's true, because like when you go to conventions, do you remember in episode 37, when you beamed down to the planet, and... That's the way it is.
Yeah,
and they really caught that.
They really did. Before Red Shirts, you know, this is the only really homage to Star Trek that's fun, and it's not, you know, mean like SNL would get with some of the stuff they would have. But this right here, I mean, Red Shirts and that are kind of like
why didn't they have Guy in Red?
I know, right?
Was that an obvious miss for anybody else?
Yeah,
that would have been a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
Yes. At least they didn't say his last name was Ensign Johnson or
Ensign
something.
Ensign Johnson, yeah.
They should just have given him a red shirt for, like, one scene,
yeah,
though.
Here, wear
just,
this.
Just what, even if it was...
I'd be like, heck no.
When he was dressed as a normal person, not when he was on the... Mm-hmm. Just at some point.
Yeah, but then he would have really had to die.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, he would have had to die.
That's too much of a thing.
Do you guys have any thoughts or anything? We'd love to hear from you guys. You know, what are your favorite scenes? We'd love to hear.
And then it exploded.
And then
the transport, the Dr. McCoy homage.
Exactly.
Transport accident.
Yeah. It did what? I heard that.
Somebody in the back right there.
Why is this here?
Who wrote this episode?
Whoever wrote this episode should die. And then you're like, wait, Sigourney's leaving didn't match. It was with her lips, and she said something else.
Yeah, there was some dubbing.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching a Japanime all of a sudden.
I just love the little kid in the computer going, okay, this is the sequence.
Yeah.
One, two.
Because I was that little kid at the time. Like, that would have been me.
Yeah, I'm pulling up my brackets right now. That's not right.
Yeah, no.
It's like, oh, wait, it's two, not one. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
You have to take out the trash.
Oh, yes. God, yes.
Yes.
Yes. How many of us have been there?
Mom, I'm saving the universe. No,
like,
you're not.
Totally relatable content.
I'm
right
waiting,
there.
Mom.
Like, Mom.
Gary.
When like, dies, and then Alan Rickman says it and means it.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, no, that made me cry the other day.
Yes.
I've seen the movie, like, 100 times.
Every time.
Every time, it just gets me. Qualic's my favorite.
Because he's the real fan.
Yes.
He's the diehard, and you just
that look on his face when he says it to him, you know, by Grandpa's memory, you see him go, it rips your heart out.
Totally. Yeah.
It does.
Well, all through the first half of the movie, he says, I am not saying that line.
And he says it for him.
So bad.
Yeah. Is there air?
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't smell something.
The captain has saved us.
And he's like...
No, when they all go out and see, they get the real history of what's going on, they're like... All trying to get off the
ship.
Yeah,
we're out. That scene was lifted and put into Bug's Life.
Yes, it was.
Like the villain was? I mean, like, literally.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, that Popper. Story is the Bug's Life. I mean, you watch it.
Bug's Life, Galaxy Quest, Bug's Life.
Repeating the computer.
I'm gonna do it.
We're at light speed. Why am I repeating
the computer? Are we at light speed?
And I
doesn't work.
My heart sank though through when this movie when they said, "Well, now you can go back to your people and your planet," and they said they're gone. And
we're all that's left.
That's
yeah.
all that's left.
Oh man!
It was just like, oh,
stakes
wow.
raised.
Exactly. Thanks, Tim Allen.
Yeah, I think that's the real
and then
real achievement of this movie, and that's why, you know, when I first saw it, I thought it was just going to be a satire, a rip, you know,
right?
And then to watch it and realize that this movie has heart,
yes,
you know, much more like just as much as some of the best Star Trek does, you
right.
know, like it's like yeah, it is really not just making fun of it, but it's also kind of playing by their rules.
It went beyond parody and became its own story. I mean, unlike your scary movies, even Airplane, which are classically funny films,
right? It's not just one gag after another.
This developed its own story.
This was a true story,
right?
And it had a beginning, middle, and end, you know, and everything. A true writer's dream, you know, sir.
I remember in the theater the biggest laugh line being, "They're not all historical documents. Surely you don't think
Gilligan's Island."
On their faces, they just
I mean, I did that too when it came on after Dad's like, let's watch another episode.
Well, it's interesting because it's like I had completely forgot that this was Rainn Wilson's first movie that he did.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
And it was just awesome. And then
I don't think had Justin Long been in a lot of stuff too by
then?
No.
A couple of little things.
Yeah.
Little tiny things.
Poor Justin Long was put through the ringer.
Oh my god.
And he never left the planet.
Yeah.
Well, he gets that, you know, he gets that moment where it's kind of reminiscent of the Shatner SNL like get a life
yeah.
moment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
At the end. I always tear up when
yes.
the
yeah. Well, I mean, just the comedy alone in it. With, I mean, just the interactions. Well, you said it's making fun of it, but at the same time, you go, but they also appreciate who this person was. Like, with the Uhura moment, with the repeating the computer and all that. At the same time, it's like, yeah, but that was big, and this was a big thing, and they never made her a small character. She just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
And her shirt gets deep. I don't see how she's hanging.
The zipper keeps falling.
You're like,
lower.
Our TV Guide article was... 2 pages about my
boobs.
But that was
one each.
That was taken right from Jerry Ryan, though.
Yeah,
the 709.
Yeah,
yes. So it's just awesome. We have to also talk about Enrico being, you know, the lead of the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah.
You mean Veronica Mars' dad?
Exactly.
Yes.
Keith Mars.
Exactly.
Keith Mars.
He was awesome.
He was great.
Oh, he's so over the top in a great way. And my lieutenant didn't get his shields up.
Do I understand correctly that he was the one that originated Thermian's voice?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I would think so.
He's amazing. Like, I mean, if you see his resume, like, I mean, the stuff that I just know him from that comes to mind is between this role and then his role as Keith Mars on Veronica Mars, and then his role as a nasty villain on Person of Interest. It's like three completely different characters, and he sells each one of them. He's so amazing.
And since he was probably the one that originated it, he was also probably in charge of training the other actors as a troupe to be cohesive but individual for those who had like really standout roles. So that's a tough job for an actor to do, as opposed to just being a regular human. You know how you act. Have a nice day.
And I loved it when they got into the limousine and he says, "Oh, hey, cutie, what's your name?" And she's
Jane Doe.
Exactly.
Jane Doe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I believe one of the features on the DVD was you could watch the entire movie dubbed in Thermian.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Has anyone
10 minutes is all you can do.
I was going to say, I don't think they needed to do more than 20 minutes of the movie, because no one could last that long.
No, but they do the whole thing. It's
no.
Yeah.
Yes.
And on the DVD, they also had the device. They had the
Omega 13.
I love that. That you hit it and it just showed you the last 10 seconds of the movie. You're like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but if you turned on closed caption while you were playing the Thermian, did you get the English translation?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Hey, have the English subtitles on. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's how you learn Thermian.
Yeah. I mean,
wait, exactly.
I thought we all knew how to speak Thermian. Are we in the wrong path? Okay, sorry.
I had 20 years to learn. So.
That was always fun. I liked how the spaceship had was its own character, and I loved that it was not the Enterprise.
Oh yeah,
or anything shaped like it.
Exactly. Well, if you don't, it has their call letters was not the Enterprise.
Not the Enterprise.
MTE. Yeah.
MTE.
Number.
Exactly, and that, which was awesome. But you know how they came up with the design of it? The guys who were creating the film, they were playing tennis one day, and one of them got really pissed at it, and he broke his racket.
And there it is.
And they said, "This is the design for our spaceship."
Again, though, still one of the better ship designs on a series. I mean, that's why pretty much the Orville has taken it and ran with it. So
exactly. It's better than what the ship they had in Enterprise.
Better. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, gosh.
You keep going there. Yeah. Why? Why?
This isn't the track room.
No, it isn't.
You're safe here.
I know.
Not safe anywhere.
Someone should storm out right now. Like, no!
No. No, no, no.
I did like the Blake 7 tribute when they all got shot.
Oh,
on the bridge.
God, yeah.
That's a deep cut, y'all. Blake 7. Go Blake.
It was.
Yeah.
The ending of Blake 7 was pretty much that. And it was
no rewind. No rewind.
No Omega 13.
There was no Omega 13. Mm. Who would want to go back 13 seconds? Come on.
Well, and I love that.
I would fix that,
fix that single mistake, that touching moment between him and Weaver, and then it's like, I gotta move on. There's things to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna build up this character, this relationship between two of them. We just keep dropping it every time he gets to a pinnacle point. It's like, oh, forget it, move on. We don't have time for love interests. Except between.
They did kind of drop that and pick it up and drop that.
Yeah, all the time.
The movie. She was looking at him with the goo-goo eyes at first, and then she walks off, and now she's mad at him.
Yeah,
what happened?
He's looking at three other girls dressed like her. Yeah.
Shocker.
And he walks away, and the girls are going...
Yeah, they're all laughing.
Yeah.
Oh,
giggle.
Oh, exactly. That reaction by him, though, after getting made fun of in the bathroom, I really could have seen Shatner do that.
Yeah.
Like, having the Storm outfit, and just jump at, "Don't you realize this is real?" That's the speech from Saturday Night Live.
I mean, of course. Because that is based off of true experience and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I would not want to be on Shatner's, you know, bad side there.
Not during his prime. He'd have kicked the crap out of a lot of folks.
With his shirt off.
With the roll. You can remain.
Sorry, sir, the Gorn went down that hallway.
I love when they had the miners and Sigourney Weaver wanted to go, they look like those children.
Have you watched the show?
Just Guy's entire panic that entire scene.
It's like, why am I always the one who's right? And it was just like awesome. And they tore apart that poor.
My God. Look, they're helping the wounded one. Oh, this is helping the little sick one. Ah. Oh my God, they're going to kill God. No, there's so much to this movie.
They look so cute, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does it have a teeth? Does it, like...
Yeah. That is awesome. That I just keep on looking at it.
I'm waiting for the point that's gun at me and kill me.
You have a brilliant spear?
Either that or hit us in the head with a rock. Let's hit him in the head with a rock and then eat him.
Use our universal translator to translate. They're used to saying the word rock over and over. What do they mean? I killed the pig monster. I don't think that's...
Pig lizard.
Pig lizard, yes.
The whole arena episode, or arena
yes,
reference.
That was that. Right out of everything.
You built a rudimentary lathe.
Get off the...
What's the old, like, comedy line about Star Trek? Here's 14 communicators. Mr. Spock put one together that works. I'm going to go seduce the High Priestess.
Yeah. Yes.
Every plot ever.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't have him do that in one segment is what I thought was the missing touch. You could have had him trying to hit on an alien. That
probably.
Would, that would have been...
How many green women?
Yeah, exactly.
They alluded to that.
They did allude to it with the, what was the, I don't remember, the women.
Well, he flirted with Missy Pyle's character.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
at the beginning when they first met.
Right, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work.
No.
She was all about Tony.
Yeah.
And that was not right.
Mm-mm.
It was love at first tentacle. Okay.
Do you know hentai?
You've not watched that anime? Okay, good. All right, so.
What's that?
Another great line that I love was, it's the simple things.
Yes.
They
give
you
the rock monster with the big gun.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was pure genius to do that.
I love that he stoned the entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No,
he was baked.
The food,
yes, baked.
The food when they're like out there pulling up their local dishes and they've made all these different. It's corn fed Iowa beef, and he's sitting there looking at his like,
blood ticks.
He has blood ticks.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's creepy.
I loved it. He picked it up. Was looking at it. It jumped out of his hand, and
just like mom used to make.
I was just like,
with all this fancy equipment, they realize he's not an alien. You know, that's that. That,
don't cloud the issue with facts.
No, I'm saying that's the greatness of that race. They took everything at face value. They didn't have to look at it.
From the historical documents.
Historical documents.
That's right.
Because they've never met liars.
Exactly.
Yeah, explain to him like you would a child.
Which, of course, leads into...
such a great line.
Which, of course, leads into one of the more devastating scenes in the movie, too.
Right, yeah.
Where he has to tell him the truth. He's forced to tell him the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Yeah.
So sad.
That's brutal.
It was brutal.
The sound he makes.
Because his heart was breaking.
I know, and you could hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think that was the noise.
But then you have the triumphant moment just a bit later when they all come back after the villain's been vanquished and they're all laughing.
Yeah, they don't tell him again that it's a lie. Leading the lie.
Like, that's the deception.
Not historical documents. Ha!
The ship is only this big.
Oh, it was awesome. But then it was also great. Like, the little sounds he made, like when he first met Tim Allen's character, and Tim Allen was like laying on the floor and they were all bending over like this. And then Tim Allen's, sure, I'll get ready, I'll go with you. And he poked him in the stomach, and because that's just an illusion. So he was probably poking him in the eye or something. He was like,
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
That is impressive technology. That they're like these giant squid things, but then become the shape of people.
Yeah.
And it's an image, but they still fit through doors. I have so many questions about that technology.
The look on the crew's face when the squids came
in. Oh my God.
When they first.
And what a great Tony moment again, right after when he shows up and he's just like, what a thing.
What's their
right?
problem?
That was a thing. And
wow,
then
what
says,
a ride
like, what's wrong with those guys? And he's like, I don't know. It just doesn't go off. And the other guys are like legitimately traumatized.
Which is hilarious because then he goes on to play Monk, who has a problem with absolutely
everything.
Oh, right.
Every time I go back and I see Galaxy Quest and I see Tony go, Tony, no. It's so dichotomous.
Because he's just so laid back, everything just flows off of him. Exactly. Exactly.
Guy's reaction to that.
Yeah.
When they first show up on the ship,
oh,
they first get
when
to
he scrape, the delayed scream is great.
Exactly.
And I love Brett scream.
And they had the probes with them, and they were
sorry. We know we're hideous in our true form, but
that was going to end badly for all of them, I think.
And it's just it was.
But Sigourney's used to that. I mean, honestly,
she's used to aliens trying to do horrible things to her.
Hey, at least they didn't drip acid.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point. So it was neat though, because like everyone says, this could have been a huge disaster right off the bat. Mm-hmm. It could have been, you know, like a Hot Shots or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Which is great, but it's mean.
Hot Shots.
I mean, yeah. Or Hot Shots, Airplane.
You never saw Hot Shots.
Part D.
Part D.
Exactly.
French will add a little class. What?
It was, you know, I could have seen this continue because I remember hearing a few years ago that Amazon was trying to do a series.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And so Alan passed away, and that pretty much, you know, killed the series right there. And because I don't want to see them do it without Rickman.
But isn't it nice to see that somebody's pulling back with enough respect and saying, okay, well, then we can't do this.
Exactly.
Right? Instead of just, like, oh, we'll find somebody else. Or give them a minute. Story.
I'll say, don't wait too much longer, because this will get rebooted. I don't know when, but maybe after this new rise of Star Trek success with Picard and something else, they'll find a way to make some money off of it. I mean, it's a great property. Mm-hmm. I hope not. I mean, but I just, the cynic in me goes, yeah, we're going to get like 9 versions of this.
Possibly. And
but
couldn't you see it happening now, especially with Orville out?
No. Orville covers it.
Yeah. Now while Orville's on the air, at least.
Yeah, which is probably not the least season and a half, so.
Yeah.
I like how you said a half.
Yeah. Like,
well,
it's Fox. They can't.
It might have had a chance to happen if Orville had been a huge success. And as much as Orville is successful, obviously, if it wasn't too successful, they're moving it to Hulu. So it's not like it's primetime Fox material anymore. Right. So I would say that
that was partly because of scheduling issues.
It's not the parody it's advertised to be either.
No, it's
not like Galaxy
Quest.
It's much
more real. It's much more
Star Trek.
It's much more Star Trek than you expect it to be.
That's true. It's more Star Trek. Yeah, it's way more Star Trek.
It's more Star Trek than a lot of the Star Treks we got.
Welcome to Discovery Panel. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a panel that's in the
But I still say it's the second best Star Trek movie. I mean, Wrath of Khan, these are the two best.
Undiscovered Country?
Yes, okay, thank that's you. Third. The one with three. The whales. The
no!
Whales. Oh, that's my favorite.
Whales.
My favorite.
Whales. 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 Originally written
thank
as an
you.
Eddie Murphy
thank
film.
You. They get me.
Why do you need it?
Where is my
you love the one with the whale.
Hey, you know,
it's all about conservation.
If you're a god, why are you stuck on this planet? So yeah, there's a lot of direction they could have gone in. I could see it continuing still in comic book form.
Yeah, totally.
I could also see.
Does it work? Does anybody read the comic?
Yeah.
I mean, because I would imagine
other
that a lot of times humor.
I was the one who bought it.
A lot of times,
nobody reads comics. Of course, as a comic writer, I'm so happy to see that.
We're not in the comic track, Michael.
Right. For a reason, we're talking about TV and movies. Come on.
Yeah. It could work, but I think you'd be losing. In the written form, you're losing, say, the way the Thermians speak.
Oh, sure.
And that adds some of not only the comedy but the heart to the movie, and you're losing Guy's over the top reactions by not hearing his voice and
an adult
Alan
animated
Rickman's
series
accent, you know, it's all the animated.
But you wouldn't be able to have Alan Rickman.
Yeah, that's my thing. Outside of Rickman, I mean,
you'd have to get a sound.
I think the heart of the movie is the connection between the crew. Right,
oh,
it's in these little moments, not even just in the dialogue, in these big moments, and that's really hard to translate into comic book form.
Right, and the fact that it's mostly, I mean, it's, I think it's this script in the hands of not as the actors that aren't as good.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, because these are really like when you look back at it, I'm like, man, there's a lot of really skilled actors in this. Yeah. It's not just like, you know, your TV.
And even in the mid parts. I mean, it's not like they even got bad actors to fill up.
Yeah, when I saw, like, when I spotted Rainn Wilson in the background, I'm going, oh, man, this is like top to bottom.
So are any of them, like, Trekkies? Do we know if any of them are big Trek fans? Like, why did they do this film? Other than money.
Well, Tim Allen is still playing himself. I mean,
Tim Allen doesn't change.
It's not. Right. Yeah, I mean, he's Santa
Claus. Yes. He's the same thing as Santa Claus, as you said.
Well,
he's the same. He's the same thing as Buzz Lightyear.
I was going to say this is Buzz Lightyear the movie,
right?
To infinity and your mom. And
Wow.
Could be. Check the dealer's room.
Hashtag trademark.
Look at it for it on our TeePublic site. So I think, you know, I definitely could. I couldn't see this working, like you said, with lesser actors, though. Whoever was casting for this did a great job.
Yeah.
I know Tim Allen wasn't even the first choice for this role, though.
Who was the first choice?
They wanted, like, Harry Anderson.
Why?
You know, they wanted someone. They wanted Harry Anderson, but they also wanted Scott Bakula.
He could have pulled the funny off. I mean, I love Scott, but I just don't think he's
so they wanted someone that took themselves too seriously.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And they went with Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
I think they changed the tone of the film, though. I mean, when you
100%.
Oh, I'm sure.
Could have been Alan Alda. That'd be funny.
I bet they did a reading with them and went, that's too
He'd been with the Picard. He'd been like the next generation. We'll get him.
Exactly.
Now, I'm interested, you know, who directed this? I keep forgetting who was the director of this film, because
if we only had an internet.
That's what the
I know. That's why I've seen you playing on it.
Yeah,
it's
got it up there.
No one knows who the
director
is. Does
anyone?
No.
Everybody's
got the phone out.
That's what Google's
Dean Harris.
We want surprise Dean from Harrison. Joe, Dean the director.
Yeah.
No one.
No one
wants surprise.
No Conan the Barbarian.
No one wants surprise.
I have a prize.
All right.
Can you do Bill and Ted, too? Is that what it is?
Someone gonna tell us?
What?
Who's Googled it? Who's the director? Say it. You get something from him.
We said it already, though.
He's doing Bill and Ted. He's doing the next installment for Bill and Ted, The Face of the Music.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
It's gonna be great now. Now I believe.
Yeah.
I'm all in. Bill and Ted.
Well, that's, you know, when he goes John Wick on everybody.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just don't kill his dog.
Who was it?
Who came up with the director? Anybody?
I did.
We did.
We did. Give it to you.
We know.
You probably already have this.
Google came up with it.
You can send it to Google at Alphabet.
Email Google.
Alphabet Inc.
I'll tell you, I'm giving it to you. It is an episode of Starship Farragut.
Hey!
Starship fan film.
Written by Bobby Nash.
Written by Bobby Nash.
There you go.
Woo! The award-winning Bobby Nash.
It's autographed.
Oh, that's
actually
nice.
That's a collector's item. We got quality.
It actually would have been great, actually, if they did like fan films, like they do Star Trek.
Oh, I'd love that.
Can you imagine doing that?
Oh my god, that I would love.
You know,
and it would be really funny to do them see together, like, get some of the old cast members from some of the shows in there to play bit parts.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine seeing. Michael Dorn walking in, you're saying, oh, no, I'm not here today.
So, legit idea, what if it wasn't about the Protector?
Ooh.
Right.
What if it was about something else in the Galaxy Quest universe?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's of his interest in the Galaxy Quest universe.
I don't know. Maybe we get to make it up. Maybe the comics explored it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
I tried, guys.
No.
The further adventures of the Thermians, you know?
And have the comic book of Thermians.
Well, yeah, it says the comic book of Thermians. There we go.
Thermian repopulation, but it's all based on...
Oh, that's not right.
Well, we haven't talked about the bad guy yet.
We still have, no. Hopper?
Saris.
Hopper.
Saris, a.k.a. Hopper.
Yes.
A.k.a. the nightmare cricket of our dreams.
They did a good job on his makeup.
Oh my god.
I thought it was great being menacing. I mean,
until the
one-on-one conflict. That got silly. But I think him in the ship and the speeches he would give were...
Oh, when he had his...
Lieutenant's
head. Yeah, the lieutenant. The head's shield up at the time. Yep. That was awesome.
I always wanted to see the Klingons do that in Star Trek, you know, or something like that. Because it was like, this guy is a badass. He's just, he did not have his shields up in time.
I wonder how they got him to the negotiating table. You're like, we're going to negotiate. I'm like, he was. You're not surrendering this guy. He's killing all of you.
It was probably a ploy on his part.
Yeah.
Get them to negotiate a surrender, and it's like, okay, you're throwing up. Thank you for delivering your corpses.
Way in the back.
Here's an idea for the follow-up. The Therians go and help all the civilizations that were destroyed by Saris' people.
That would work.
Oh. That almost deserves a prize.
Yeah, prize. That's the winning pitch.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Come see me, I'll give you a prize. After the thing.
Okay, don't dig yourself anymore.
No, yeah, I got something. Well, I do.
I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do.
Got something.
I don't think he's getting it.
No.
I do. I do.
He's caught it for sure now.
No, exactly. And it's not Conan. No.
I'm not interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it's kind of, it was neat because the villain was so evil. And
how evil was he?
He was so evil, he probably drilled the eye patch in himself.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that.
Because it's just like, wow. It's just like, he was less menacing on the when he came on the ship and everything. He was just an asshole.
Yeah, well, it was just silly because his guards are running around and they're not taking that seriously.
Yeah.
Where they're killing people randomly, it's not, there's not any menace to it.
No.
But when he's pacing, it's very much Wrath of Khan.
Oh, yeah.
That pacing back and forth, talking. I'm like, oh, yeah, you got Ricardo Montalban too. All right, good. Yeah. Awesome.
It's true. You're right. It's more menacing when they're all trapped and losing air,
right?
Yeah.
Then when they're actually being attacked by the
aliens.
No, because
and he would also go on to eventually be on Star Trek Voyager.
That's true. That is very
Who
true.
Who wasn't though? I mean,
that is true.
Scott Bakula. Is
it true?
There you go. Well, you never know. If someone was acting a little weird.
He could have been
one of them. Who were the cricket aliens supposed to be? What was that race supposed to be? Because I really think
I thought they were supposed to be Klingons.
I thought Maktar race was like some weird combination between Vulcan and Klingon.
Yeah, very warrior based.
Yeah, like a warrior piece. Yeah. I mean, I was into it, but it was
they weren't sneaky enough to be Romulans.
No, there was no subterfuge.
Cardassians? Maybe they're Cardassians.
Yeah, Cardassians. The Kardashians?
Not the Kardashians.
Not
that.
They're not that vain.
They were taking selfies of themselves all the time.
Stop, I can't kill you.
No, they're taking their selfies like this.
Yes.
Exactly.
Wait, I need a filter.
You don't need a wide angle lens.
The peach filter.
Someone quick.
Quick, stop this now.
Yes. Please, someone say something.
Something.
Nothing.
Nothing. So, but anyway.
Anyone have a favorite scene we haven't mentioned?
Have we done the whole movie?
Yeah, the movie is a favorite scene.
My favorite scene was the frequent use of the Shatner roll.
Oh, yeah, the dive?
The dive.
Yeah. Why are you rolling?
Used and didn't work, and then used and worked later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then loses his blaster.
Where's your gun?
Where's your gun?
Yeah. I really love at the end where the blaster actually goes off and it explodes.
Yes.
Like that's the first, and you're like, yes. It's so satisfying.
As a fan,
I imagine that scene, and if I'd seen that in real life, I'd been someone at that convention.
The communicator scene to me is the best. When they walk up and he goes, but he gave me this! And they all just take it out.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah, we know.
You're drunk again, you know?
No, they're termites.
Yeah, they're
Dalmatians or something.
The Dalmatians.
The Dalmatians.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband and I have seen this movie so many times and love it so much that it's impossible to choose even five scenes. It's part of our vocabulary.
Yes.
You just speak in Galaxy Quest to each other. That's a real love language.
Wow. Bringing people together.
Honey, good night. I love you.
We won't take that to its obvious conclusion.
Okay, Weird Al.
This ship is dragging mines.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Power moment.
The look on his...
Power moment of
awesome.
His look, the look on his face was classic.
It was very Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Well, also, that performance by Alan, he captured a James T. Kirk on the bridge of the Enterprise. What you fail to realize is I've killed you. You're like, yeah. He went full Shatner.
He did.
Full shot. In the back again.
Yes.
Oh, Laredo, learning how to drive.
Go up to the library and figure out how to drive. Yeah. And he was watching old episodes.
And he's quoting himself. It is like so sweet.
It's very meta.
Well, it's point and click.
I love it because
and we
can
totally
really
see
is.
Wesley Crusher doing
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. I really love it because it really is like for him, it's his childhood, so he doesn't remember it as well as like the others do, you know? Mm-hmm. So like it's him rewatching it and like him falling back in love with it, and you can sort of see it.
Yeah, he didn't hate himself nearly as much.
No, and it's so cute.
But we also keep the Crusher moment with the kid, with Justin Long's character having to save the day. You know, you go to a kid the day. It was very Roddenberry at the time.
Shut up, Will.
Shut up, Will.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Shut up.
Yes.
That long awkward scene.
I gotta say, another thing that hit me when I was doing my rewatch a few days ago was they really captured the convention scene at the time. If anybody had gone to one of the Vulcans or the Creation Cons or whatever back in 20, 25 years ago, they were in like these huge auditoriums, mm-hmm. and all the dealers would be around. Like they would be, you didn't have panel rooms.
No.
Like they were just all in one big area like that. And it was just, it really felt like they were, like the convention scene was real.
I dragged my parents to this movie, and I had dragged my parents probably earlier that year because multiple times, two different Star Trek conventions in Miami, and my parents, when we left this movie, my mom just looked at me and she goes, that's you.
So that's what you do at those conventions, dear.
Oh no, she would just be behind. Actually, no, you're right. My mom never came. My dad. Always
exactly.
My dad always just made sure I didn't get lost or no creepy person talked to me, and I just let me do my.
My parents would drop me off at the curb, and they say we'll pick you up at 5:30.
So much more trusting.
Yeah.
Mom's at home cleaning out all the clothes she doesn't want her husband to wear anymore. Like, I know what I'm doing today.
And it was.
All those firecrackers.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. They ran out with the fireworks.
At least he's outside.
At least he's outside. I think all of our parents can relate to that moment.
Yeah. The early days of the internet.
Oh,
with
God.
Getting on the group chat with all the buddies. And that's.
I almost expected AOL to be there.
Yeah, an error. I was waiting for the blue screen of death to pop in any time now.
Exactly.
Set this communication.
You have mail.
You have mail.
You're like, no, I don't want mail. I don't want mail.
And the whole bulletin board thing is just like, oh God.
The fan posters that you either made or had your friends.
Because you didn't have places like this
to
do that. Even at the shows, you had some of the stuff, but a lot of it was all handmade.
The bootleg. I mean,
all the bootleg stuff.
Or you ordered from the back of Starlog magazine.
Yes. Fangora.
Back when comic books actually had...
The ads in them.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Everyone up is looking at us like, what are they talking
about?
We're
old. We're old.
Talking about this now.
Not that old.
You're old enough to be self-conscious about it.
Yes.
It's the 20th anniversary of this movie. How old are you?
Yeah. That is 100% true.
The cool thing is, I know in, I think, October, they're releasing a brand new version of this movie.
Really?
Yes. For the 20th anniversary.
I'm there.
Not another one.
Oh, no.
Another version.
Is it
the
theater?
It's the special edition. The whole tone of the movie will change for those 7 seconds.
Exactly. And I have extra 13 seconds.
We'll have 13 seconds.
Extra 13 seconds of footage. Promised.
Promise. Guaranteed.
It'll be Justin taking the trash from the kitchen.
Sigourney unfiltered, okay? Yes.
Oh, no.
Well, they can put the bed scene back in. Remember that on the extras?
No.
There's a scene where Quellig is showing Alan Rickman around.
Oh, with the spikes.
And the bed, the spikes.
Where he's like, this.
I've actually tried it. Once you get used to it, it's very relaxing.
They look terrifying too.
Yeah.
My favorite deleted scene is the one where Sigourney Weaver's character actually gets to kill two of the baddies by being sexy. She's like, fine, you know what, you want me, come here. And then, she's like, okay, we're going to need some privacy. Computer, close the door. And then it closes right on them.
Again, to get that PG rating.
I know. It definitely would have maybe made it PG-13.
Yeah.
I don't see how it wasn't. I mean, not just the language stuff, but like you said, she's hanging out that entire... You're like,
Sigourney, the last third act is Sigourney and Weaver.
And Weaver,
Wow.
Wow.
It is.
Thank you.
Send
approval. Complaints to ESO.
Actually, point them to Attention Darren.
Attention Darren, please.
I'm sorry, I'm a big fan of drag queens, so I notice these things.
Wow!
Soft clap. Okay. There is contouring makeup there, people. I'm sorry. There was a little lifting, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. There's a little Elvira.
Everybody's
going
on. Not giving
it's
you eye contact, bro.
They're very uncomfortable.
It's the Keira Knightley treatment.
Yeah,
it's the Keira Knightley treatment. We all know it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's it.
As I remember, they did an interview with her. Hold on.
Repeat your question. Sorry. That's okay.
Do y'all know anything of the story behind the genesis of how those scripts came to be written and produced? Like, who were the driving forces behind it? And what was their, were they like tricky?
Truthfully, it was originally written as a, you know, like a farce. Hey, let's see if the Star Trek crew would actually do this, you know, type thing. And then it just grew from there, and, oh, we can't make them do this type
thing. Which is funny, is the original cast originally was supposed to have a comedy. The fourth film was an Eddie Murphy vehicle. Eddie Murphy had wanted to do a Star Trek film. And so...
Just like Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. But he wanted to do something funny. Everybody was on board with it, but they could... I think it's the sequel to... Beverly Hills Cop 2 gets in the way. So they scrapped the idea and they turned it into the conservation piece that we get.
But then the people making it, the studio, saw Superman 3 and remembered.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
It's not necessarily something that works.
Okay, imagine Eddie Murphy as the dog. Captain Kirk's love interest.
Oh,
for 5 seconds.
We're done.
We're done.
Wow.
We're done.
So it was a matter of some producers came up with this idea and threw it out to some scriptwriters to write, or was it vice versa?
It was scriptwriters first. They came up with the idea and they pitched it for a couple of years, actually. And they were trying to figure out, you know, what they could do, and it just evolved. And like I said, Tim Allen came onto the project late because he was not the first choice.
And Rickman wasn't big at this time. I mean,
no.
He had a couple of decent roles, but nothing.
He was Hans Gruber already.
Yeah. But he didn't really do much after that.
He was doing a lot.
He was doing a lot of stage.
Oh, in English.
Yeah. I mean, that's not my... He wasn't a movie here. Presence.
No.
I mean, outside of what? Yeah. Gosh.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, and then... Quickly Down Under in Prince of Thieves, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the spoon is iconic.
Because I think Tim Allen gets top billing, and I think Sigourney gets second billing, right?
Yeah, and then that's it. I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing how they kept away from sci-fi actors in this completely. I mean, they really didn't. I mean, outside of her.
Not completely.
Though. I mean, they don't go and find just television actors.
But I think for genre actors.
Right.
I was going to say, I think, you know, I mean, obviously with Tim doing the voice of Buzz just a few years before this, they probably were like, hey, this...
He could play a spaceman.
Yeah, he could play a spaceman, right?
Like, exactly.
And she's honestly making fun of herself, too.
Right.
Especially when it's the it's aliens. It's the whole gag. And
Also, Sam Rockwell was fairly unknown at this point.
He's completely unknown.
Yeah.
My wife hadn't hated him yet because of Charlie's Angels. I mean,
that's a plus, then, you know.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell will always be the bad guy in every movie she watches because of that, and then The Green Mile. That's why she says we're watching this for the first time. He's going to be the bad guy. He's gonna betray them all. He's gonna beat the aliens and kill them all. And I'm like, no, honey, he's not the bad guy in this one. It's okay, right? I'm dead.
Yeah. In more ways.
Next one with me.
Mm-hmm. Here, look at the flashing light.
Epileptic humor.
Yeah. So, but it's actually kind of fun that it came through. And truthfully, I don't think it could be redone.
No.
I don't think they could capture the feel. I don't think of it. I think it was something really special. your cosplayers dressing up for it really wonderfully, and you also, but you also have a legacy. You have quotable things, mm-hmm. and you know, for it.
Well, the fact that everybody can still watch it and get it
exactly.
It's, it, yes. The technology doesn't date itself. Watching it,
no, not at all. You know, the special effects are great.
They're wonderful. I mean. The rocket scenes, it really does look like they're shooting fireworks at each other, though, with the missiles. You know, yeah. That I thought that was so good.
Well, I mean, the chompers are really bad. Chompers. CGI, let's be honest.
But it's good. I mean, that's the whole
it's
point.
It's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love the scene when they were right underneath the Omega 13.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
It's still beautiful.
And it's still beautiful.
And they look up, it's just like, it's almost like looking into infinity.
Yeah. And, they,
and beyond.
You got it, right?
Thank you.
You set him up, I'll knock him down.
I think. So I think, you know, with this movie, I think, you know, what's up?
It always stops at one.
The self-destruct sequence. The ship never blows up, so what else does it do, right? It's great.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I love it. She was like, computer, stop the self-destruct. I can't do that. So it was just,
why the hell not?
Exactly.
her reactions are awesome.
So, you know, I think we got to start wrapping it up. You know, everybody, thank you guys for coming to this. It's special to us because this movie means a lot to a lot of us here. And I'm looking forward to showing this and watching this to friends who haven't seen it before. Mm-hmm. All two of them, you know. It,
you know. If you have a friend who hasn't seen it, make them watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll thank you later. I mean, it's that good.
Exactly.
I need to hear the last quote, though, from everybody. Never give up.
Thank you guys very, very much.
Great crowd.
Let's go down with them. Enjoy your Dragon Con. And before you guys get out of here, please rate us on the mobile app. 5 stars. Thank you.
Love us. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're not pinch hard.
Exactly.
Well.
Hi, this is Ashley Pauls with this week's Box Office Buzz. I hope that all of you who had a chance to go to Dragon Con this weekend had a wonderful time. I know I was sad not to be there this year, but I really loved seeing all the photos of the parade, the cosplay, and all the other great stuff that happens at Dragon Con every year. If you're looking for something fun to do this weekend, there is a big movie coming out in theaters, which is It Chapter 2. Apparently, one scary clown movie wasn't enough, and the sequel will be arriving this weekend, taking place years later with a now grown-up gang of kids. This one has a pretty impressive cast, including Jessica Chastain and Bill Hader, and I think it really just drives home that horror as a genre really is having a moment. Based on how well the first It movie did at the box office, I'm guessing that this one will pull in a lot of money this weekend as well and kind of kick off the fall movie season. And also, again, really proving that while I think there's still a lot of attention surrounding summer blockbusters and the idea of the summer blockbuster season, other movies like Black Panther and the original It movie show that, you know, a big movie is going to be a big movie any time of year. So, as you probably know, horror is not my personal favorite genre, but I hope those that are looking forward to this, I hope that it will be enjoyable. And apparently It Chapter 2 has scared off all the other movies because there's nothing else really opening in terms of wide release this weekend. On DVD, though, we do have one of the would-be summer blockbusters, which is Men in Black International. I never got a chance to see this in theaters, mostly because I saw the reviews and thought, maybe this is one to skip. It is really interesting because Men in Black, of course, is a popular franchise from years back, and it did star two very popular actors currently, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, who were in the mega blockbuster Avengers Endgame just this summer. But for whatever reason, Men in Black International just didn't connect with audiences, and this is a narrative we continue to see as the summer blockbuster season just becomes so crowded with movies. There's so much to see, and especially with streaming, things like Stranger Things competing for audiences' attention.
this movie just didn't really find traction. I don't think I necessarily am in a rush to go see it on DVD, but if you're interested, it is there. That's it for this week's entertainment news. If you're looking for more entertainment content, be sure to check out my blog, boxofficebuzzab.wordpress.com. I'm continuing to blog my way through the Game of Thrones TV series and just wrapped up season 7. It's only one more to go.
Where are you from?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, I'm actually from North Georgia.
Austin, Texas.
I'm from the D.C. area.
How long have you been going to Dragon Con?
This is my 7th year.
So this is my first year coming as a participant, but I've been a con kind of watcher for a few years now.
This is my 29th Dragon Con. I've missed a few in between. Went to the second one ever, though.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that means if it's your 29th and you've missed a few in between, you're OG. You've been coming since the beginning.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So how long have you been coming to Dragon Con?
Oh, wait, let me check. That's 2007.
Would you mind telling our audience what I'm looking at right now? What are you referencing to get that number?
I am currently looking at a list of 13 of my cards that I keep every year, my badges. I put them all in the same lanyard, and I've luckily not lost them yet.
This is your first Dragon Con, you say?
It is. I've heard plenty of stories from some of my friends saying that they've gone some years in the past. Figured, you know, Atlanta's not too far a drive away. Might as well, save up, head on out.
This is my 10th year. Yeah, in a row.
In a row.
In a row.
Grizzled veteran, battle hardened.
This is my first time going to Dragon Con.
Yep, this is our first time.
Yeah, I think this is my 11th year, but there might have been like one I missed. Yeah.
I won't tell if you don't.
This is actually my 3rd year. It's my first year actually staying the entire weekend and at the hotel, and I easily say it's the best year just because of the ease of being able to be at the con.
This is my 14th year.
14th year. That's very cool. Very cool. What, in general, what's changed?
Crowd's gotten bigger since I've been coming. The number of hotels has increased. Younger crowds. It's become more mainstream.
I've noticed the cell reception has gotten a lot better in the hotels. I don't know if it's just the hotels improving their Wi-Fi network or if it's, just cell service becoming a little more stronger in the hotels, but, it's been easier to actually meet up with people.
It used to be a much wilder con, with as wild as it is, admittedly. Used to be much wilder. They made it a lot more family-friendly, and that made it a lot bigger, so,
When I first came here, it was like, these are my people and we're the misfits of everybody. And now it's a little more cooler nowadays. The crowd's a lot bigger and a lot more diverse.
What's been your favorite moment so far?
I love the Walk of Fame. Love it.
Walk of Fame is probably my favorite so far.
Running into some favorite characters when they're a little plastered and trying to give life advice to us, that's an exceptional moment.
Probably a couple of the photo shoots that we've been doing. Yeah, so just getting to do photo shoots with some of my favorite friends and costuming groups.
My favorite moments this con, this year, being in the Marriott, I've had really funny hotel elevator experiences. And every hotel or every elevator is a new experience.
I saw some of my favorite characters that I really didn't expect to see this year. The skids from Letterkenny earlier, where they were prepared. They had the cardboard out, they had the poses and everything, and that's always the best moment to me, when someone gets all the way into character for what they're cosplaying.
I think it was going to the Nintendo photo shoot.
Actually, no, I've got to agree with the Walk of Fame. It's an absolutely great opportunity to get a little bit more up close and personal with the celebrities that are actually appearing here.
Ooh, favorite moment. I was able to, for the first time in the 3 years that I've gone, been able to actually experience like the late night like vibe of Dragon Con. We all know there's those questionable things that happen in the late night, but I would have to say that being able to just party, have fun with your friends, like listen out to some good music, old and new, is really it's really a lot of fun because you'd be able to just let loose a little bit after all the heat throughout the day. And
what's been your favorite panel?
That's a difficult one, but I think probably the wearable tech.
What's your favorite part?
The drinking.
I saw the Expanse panel on the Friday and enjoyed that a lot.
It sounds a little odd to say it, but there's like diversity and cosplay panels. Those are all over. In fact, there's a panelist over there. I like those. They tend to be very well staffed. Like, there's plenty of people on there. There's plenty of people with like, good feedback, good talk, and good support. And there's been a lot more representation in comic books and movies, and it's been like something that's just really taken off.
I'm Dan Klink.
I'm Tara Newman.
Reporting here live on tape for the ESO Network from Dragon Con. Dragon Con, Dragon Con up.
Dragon Con up.
Dragon Con.
Yep. We have the privilege of standing here today with your defenders of cool and all things awesome, the Cybertronic Spree.
Well, thank you for that introduction.
Oh, man, it's accurate. What's up, Berth?
We're going to steal that tagline.
Yeah. Free money, brother. It's all yours. It's all yours.
Well, I was going to steal it anyway. I don't need your permission.
Yes, of course you don't. Oh, Rumble. Rumble. Rumble's in the house. Rumble's in the house. He is double purple, everybody. And I think we also have RC. How you doing?
I am so fine tonight.
Hot Rod, new boss in charge. How you doing?
I'm doing very, very well.
Excellent.
Sure, he's in charge.
Okay. I mean,
yeah, he is. Most of the time.
You got the Matrix, right?
No. He gave it up.
I mean, I was going to ask, like, is it in your safe or something?
No.
Noob question, everybody.
That Matrix back where it belongs. I was a terrible leader. Right. Let's be real. But I'm excellent at leading a band of misfit robots and rocking out.
What is the Cybertronic Spree?
So the Cybertronic Spree is beyond good, beyond evil, and beyond your wildest imaginations.
It will transform your life.
It's Autobots, Decepticons, and various other mechanical monstrosities brought together by the power of rock and roll to move you emotionally, hopefully in a positive way. But if you're feeling down, you know, that's cool too, I guess.
I mean, you're not their mom. You're not going to tell them how to live, but you're giving really good advice.
It's a band full of moms, if we're being honest.
Right.
Yeah, we
right.
get on each other's case about stuff all the time.
Because you love each other.
No, we actually don't.
Yeah, this is a band that was built on hate. And, you know, we just don't like each other at all. But the power of rock does supersede it all.
That's
and
right.
So we come together.
We channel it into something positive.
Yeah.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
On the streets, Hot Rod and I fight. But on the stage, the rhythm section's tight.
There it is.
So the three of you are here today. Who else is going to be with you at 1:30?
So, we're a motley crew, really. We've got, in addition to ourselves, we've got the mysterious Quintesson. We've got the Unicron, Devourer of Worlds, the Chaos Bringer himself.
Excellent.
Eight-string guitar destroyer of licks. And, of course, we also have joining us, special for Dragon Con, Soundwave and Shockwave is
awesome.
Going to be in the house tonight. So, yeah.
And about 2,000 other people.
So, you just wrapped a crowdfunding campaign to put out your rendition of Transformers the Movie soundtrack. Can you walk us through the process between the genesis of that project and where we are now?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So, we always wanted to, obviously, we were built because of Transformers the Movie. And the music just... It needed to be brought live. And we thought, what better way to do that by getting together, get the bots together, and just rocking it out live, seeing if this is something that humans here on Earth can appreciate. And turns out, they like it a little. So we came back for beyond our one-show mandate. And we actually put aside our grudges, our differences, and thought, let's just battle it out on stage. And so this Kickstarter project was really the first excuse we had to lay a studio album, because we never really wanted to enter the music business, you know, in the traditional sense. We always just thought we were doing something for the experience of the here and now. You know, it's like you got to be there or be square. And what better way to do that than just rocking it out live? So this was a really unique challenge to start our very first physical recording.
So what was the most fun you guys had in interacting with humans on the crowdsourcing mechanism?
Oh, well, there was this one time our human audio engineer
I mean, he was doing some mixing and things got a little crazy there. And we didn't know that putting duct tape on a human was painful, but...
Yeah, Shockwave got involved in this. And we the Autobots were not in the studio at the time, but there was some shenanigans. The Decepticons were in charge that day. And we have a human audio engineer. His name is Greg Harrison. He's a very talented composer, recording artist. I think he also plays some music too. Yeah, we got him. We tapped him just and he's still alive.
That's good.
Yep, yep.
That's good.
Yep.
It's always a concern when these guys are involved.
That's it. Yeah, so we kind of balance each other out. Yeah.
He's bigger than me. He could take me, I think.
It's true. Yeah. He's a big guy.
He can't take Soundwave though.
No.
Yeah, he was doing some funny stuff with the mix, and I think he was just trying to get a rise out of us in the studio, especially with the drums. He was making everything sound like I was in a tin can or something. And I didn't know he was joking, so we got pretty angry with him. And then we took it a little too far. But yeah, he's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah,
he still likes us. We still like him. He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Good.
He'll
good.
Be fine.
We even paid him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We paid him. He got paid.
You gave him some of our paper money.
Well, he's got new clothes now. He had dinner.
Yep. Yeah. We fed him. Yeah.
Dinner's
yeah.
important.
And we even gave him an NDA. So, you know, like, yeah, so it was all good.
If you ask him, he had a great time that
That's
night.
That's right.
Cybertronic Warrior is my new jam. Straight up. Really. And after this interview, it's going to be your new jam as well, good listeners of the ESO network. What circuitry upgrades led you to make the leap towards producing original content?
It's strictly because the band, humans wanted to hear it. They said, these covers are great. Do you guys write your own? And we thought, right? Wow, do creative things. And then we went online and we researched machine learning and like AI and stuff. And we were laughing and we're like, I bet if we forced ourselves to watch 1,000 hours of music, you know, that we could do some of this. So, yeah, look out. Machine learning is coming at you. And Cybertronic Warrior was the very first attempt. So, yeah we're very
proud.
By that time,
we had a pretty good handle on the earth instruments. So we weren't breaking them all the time. So we thought, yeah, it's a good time to start writing our own material.
Yeah, the mentality behind that is, what if there was a Transformers animated movie that came out in 1987, like a follow-up? What would the main banger of that soundtrack be? And that's what Cybertronic Warrior became.
That's what Cybertronic Warrior is.
Oh, great.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Oh, hey. I had nothing to do with it.
Hey.
I didn't write any of the lyrics. I just hit things.
You're welcome.
But you're doing what you love, and that's the important bit.
This is true.
He loves hitting things, yes.
With sticks.
Loves to rumble.
Yeah.
That's what you're built for.
Yeah, well, it's my name, so. Can you imagine if your name instead of Dan was interviewer?
That's like me.
Like, who else is like that? It's me and Cobra Commander, that's it.
So you've mentioned before that other robots and Cybertronic beings join you guys.
Yep.
Is there some sort of tech group from another show that you want to come on stage with you that has not come on stage with you yet?
You know, we've had a few guest stars when we first started up, and they've mainly been Weird Al Yankovics or people who look
Strange Owls.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Strange Owls have been joining us on stage for a while, but we've always wanted to collaborate with others, and we continue to do that, I guess, just live. It's also very dangerous, though, because we're robots. We get very, you know, up in each other's grill on stage. And so generally for humans, they need to wear at least a hard hat, like Spike, who sadly succumbed to the last concert we had in Toronto last weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, he got banged up real good.
Yeah.
The video, Cybertronic Warrior. What was that all about? Who did you tap to help? I mean, the end product is rad. You said that was your first attempt.
Yes, it was.
Dude, your last attempt? I mean, I'm going to go in cryostasis for a couple decades and see what I can get. Tell us about the video, just all about the video.
We were so excited to work with a director by the name of Steven Kostansky.
Oh, yeah. He is the genius behind Manborg. If you haven't seen Manborg, check out Manborg. But more recently, The Void. Yeah, he's like a horror guru. He's a super talent.
And W for Wish in the compilation, The ABCs of Death Part 2. And that's the one that we saw where we were fans of Manborg, but when we saw W for Wish, we were like, oh yeah, we need to work with this guy.
This is...
What were you going to say?
Okay, well, I mean, this is the human, right? This is is the 70% meat, so full of water meat sack.
And, well, we lured him. We lured him with...
That he wanted to work with us, and then Rumble was like, okay, I'll let him out now. And see
those quotations.
We emailed him the song because it was done already. Yeah. We were waiting. We needed the song first to do the video. That's how it works.
That's how it works on Earth. Yeah.
And so we emailed him an early version of the song and said, you're going to meet us at Sneaky D's, which is this dive bar in Toronto. And he met us, and he had this binder full of notes and other pictures and stuff. And we're like, oh, this guy's, he's serious. Like, he was way more prepared than I thought he would
be. We hadn't even told him how little budget we had.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyway, he did all this stuff. We built a set with him.
Yeah.
That was cool. He built a giant robot. We got to control it.
Yeah, that was sort of the sad part.
An instruction manual.
That's it. So we were flying this giant robot. We all fit in the head, and RC's voice powered the thing, and like the rest of us playing our instruments were making it move and do things. And then we took it out for a spin, and we trashed it in the video. Spoiler alert, it gets completely wrecked, and Steven is now horribly in debt. So we said sorry. He was really cool about it before they carted him off. And yeah, we're now, you know, on the side, we sort of raise money to, get him out of, jail.
It's the journey though, right?
It is.
Somebody's got to trash a robot, even if it's somebody else's. I mean, you know, human debt versus, the fate of what's cool in the universe.
That's it. It's just, you know, it was like, it was a good creative decision. Yeah.
He understands the struggle. Oh, yeah. Right.
As a robot, what was it like piloting a robot? Was it a bit of an existential crisis? How are you doing?
It's kind of meta. It's almost like, you know, it's like humans maybe using forks or something. Like, you know, it's like this is it's you're using it for you, but it's not you, but you relate to it. It's deep.
For me, I was just running the engine, really. Like every time I hit something, it powered it a little bit more. So it was kind of like putting your foot on a gas pedal. And that's what I was doing. I wasn't in charge of where he was going or anything like that, but I had to make sure he was able to do stuff.
How much?
That's also why it fell apart. It didn't work at all. Like we were all thinking, oh no, everybody. it was a group effort. It didn't matter what we were doing. We were just playing the song, and then we were like, oh, I thought no, go left, and you're like, how do you do that? And yeah, well, the rest is history.
The rest is video. A couple quick questions. How much energon goes into a new song?
Well, here on Earth, not a lot of energon because, well, not so much of that. But yeah. But a lot of alcohol goes into the creation of this original material. It fuels our engines almost as much as the power of our fans.
Moving forward, what's your next move? How do you plan on continuing to dare us to keep our dreams alive?
Well, like Rumble mentioned, we wanted to start writing music that would be the sequel to the movie. So we're looking at writing some more original tracks.
Final question. Where can we find you? How can we find you? Give you our human money that you've earned. Where can we get you on the social networks?
Well, technically, we're robots in disguise, so you can't. But if you're looking online, you can find us at YouTube, Cybertronic Band on Twitter, or Cybertronic Spree on Facebook, thecybertronicspree.com for ticketing.
Make sure that the is part of the URL because someone squatted just cybertronicspree.com and it's a bunch of car porn now.
Yeah, we think it's Soundwave. He's just pranking the band, but it's no joke. There is malware on that. So yeah, don't do that.
There.
Don't.
Yeah.
Cybertronic Spree.
Just look us up on Facebook and you'll be all right.
Yeah. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
Zuckerberg's got our back for now.
For now.
For now.
Rumble, RC, Hot Rod. Thank you so much for talking
Thank
to us
you.
Today.
Thank you.
Cybertronic Spree, everybody. Cybertronic Spree. Check them out. What were you most looking forward to?
I was just looking forward to seeing everybody in cosplays because this is like the only event that I really go to a year where I can see everybody who like is into the same things that I'm into.
Right.
And I think that's really cool to like hang out with people.
I think my favorite part was seeing one of the artists that I saw my first time coming here was still here and had a booth and everything. And I went and I talked to her about how I still had her art. Yeah, that was really cool to me.
Mostly just to seeing friends that I only see at the con. I have people that I see every year for 30 years now or whatever that I miss if I don't see them at con. That's, yeah.
Just, I enjoy going to the vendors. I enjoy spending time with my two daughters who I bring down with me. My daughter's first year in college, so she kind of drove down for the weekend. It was my first time seeing her since she left for school a few weeks ago. So it's a special family opportunity for dad-daughter time.
Your favorite cosplay that you've seen?
Oh, okay. I saw a Mad Max cosplay, and he had two, like, really big dogs, and his costume was amazing. Oh, yeah. You saw that?
I like the guy that dresses as Alien.
Like, full on, like the Xenomorph?
Yes.
So, yesterday, we were in cosplay as Team Rocket from Pokemon, and it just was, like, super fun to interact with all the other people that were dressed as, like, stuff from Pokemon. I don't know.
And I don't know all the characters to things, but I did see a guy who had, like, this real fur thing around his shoulder and long hair. He looked like something out of Lord of the Rings. It was beautiful.
Oh, goodness. There's so many. But yesterday I saw this lady in a Venom outfit, and it was killer.
Really? I've seen some really horribly inappropriate ones that were my favorite that probably should never have been worn.
Went to the fantasy cosplay, and there was a League of Legends cosplay. I don't play League, so I don't know the character's name, but it was a 9-foot tall, looked like an alligator, and it was fantastically done. I mean, just every detail perfectly executed. Fantastic work.
Oh, what's your weirdest con moment?
Ooh. Probably when I was working security at con. Yeah. And I had to break up two guys who were having a lightsaber fight.
Like a real lightsaber fight. Like they weren't...
real lightsaber fight. They were actually angry at each other.
What's been your favorite moment so far?
So I came here to see Brandon Sanderson, the author of the Mistborn series in Stormlight Archives, and that was basically just why I came in the first place.
Yep, and I'm mom, so I'm helping her live out her dream.
Actually, this morning I went to see the Karate Kid panel, and that was so fun because I just love that movie, and yeah, that was really cool.
Like, exceptionally more friendly. There's people handing out snacks. There's people just like... handing out cute things and singing songs. It was just a lot of really pure moments, and we had a really good time. We did.
How's the experience been? Just for the both of you, you know, mother, daughter.
It's very fun. It's a real people-watching place.
It was awesome. I love to dress up and just, you know, be a character that you've always wanted to be around so many people who are like you. You don't see a lot of people like this in real life, you know. You kind of wish like it was like this all the time, you know?
What are you most looking forward to?
All the parties each night. They're great.
And the drinking?
Of course.
Probably just meeting up with friends I haven't seen in exactly a year-ish. Definitely my highlight has been some of the parties last night were fantastic. Last night on Alderaan, the last party on Alderaan.
I've always got a kick out of an evening in Bree, but I think the thing that most impresses me is just the inclusiveness that is shown here, and I think the world would be a better place if what happens here on a daily basis happened all the time.
Why go to Dragon Con?
It's just a great party, great people, fun. They have a little something for everyone.
Would you recommend Dragon Con?
Yes, because Dragon Con is one of the biggest ones, so there's a lot of opportunities for a whole bunch of different interests, and so it's really nice to be able to come and be... if you're a fan of more than one thing, to be able to come in and get a little bit of all of it.
Would you recommend Dragon Con?
Yes. Yeah, it's fun. It's a real fun experience.
Yeah, I'd totally recommend Dragon Con to anyone. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Oh, definitely.
To people who are okay with crowds, yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's great fun. I mean, there's a little something for everybody.
Would you recommend Dragon Con?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I'll be back.
Definitely.
Would you recommend Dragon Con?
Oh, yes.
And why would you do that?
I've been to other cons locally, and it's like nothing compares to Dragon Con. The streets roll up at like 11 o'clock at every other con, and this is all night.
Would you recommend Dragon Con?
Always. I would recommend it over any other con.
This is Dan Klink reporting for the ESO Network. We have a very special guest who joined us this weekend at DragonCon. Superstar author of The Best Saturdays of Our Lives and Senior Programming Operations Manager at Adult Swim, Mr. Mark McRae. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. It's so wonderful to be back at DragonCon. I haven't been to DragonCon since 2012, and so I'm making my triumphant return.
That's right, triumphant return of Mark McRae. Yeah, so you and I hung out a lot at the convention. You probably, you know, my voice is raspy. You have a good time?
Oh, yeah, I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of friends I hadn't seen in a long time. I also got to make some new friends, which was even more awesome. And I think, you know, the fact that they had the convention sort of laid out at, you know, five different hotels, as well as America's Mart, you know, it just made things a little easier because I believe like in 2012 when I went, all the events were in two hotels and America's Mart, and just kind of darting back in between the two hotels seemed to be, a little bit of a pain in the neck. But this time around, because there were other hotels to go to and check out, I don't know, having more hotels just seemed to make it much easier.
Well, you know what? Let's just roll tape, yeah?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Yeah, so this is Dan Klink, ESO Network, DragonCon Con Report, reporting live, recorded, in line, picking up our DragonCon badges. Standing in line with me here, superstar author of The Best Saturdays of Our Lives. I think he does something in Adult Swim, too. I don't want to push him on that, though. My dear friend, Mark McRae. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Really enjoying this registration process at DragonCon. It's my first time being on this super-duper long line, but things seem to be really organized, and it's a great place to people watch and see some of the cosplayers as well. Before the convention actually starts.
You know, I totally. You know, this line, when we got here, we went to the right. And we ended up walking all the way around the entire hotel because the line wraps around the entire hotel.
Correct. Like, if we had gone to the left, we would have probably gone, you know.
I'd be home by now, Mark. I'd be home by now is what you're saying. Right.
And I would be where I'm supposed to be, which I'm not going to say where I'm supposed to be.
This is moving well, though. I mean, I was thinking at the beginning, you know, Space Mountain better be at the end of this, right? There better be.
I'm expecting a big prize or something just for standing in line. I mean, it is a huge process, but it's kind of fun, too. You know, there's a certain type of camaraderie about, you know, seeing people and everybody going through the same process and standing in line at a convention.
Right.
I can't explain it, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
24, Mr. Craig.
Wow, that was quick.
That was a really quick registration process. One of my friends told me not to come down on Thursday because they said, you'll be on that line for 3 hours in the blistering sun, and it's going to be terrible. You should just show up on Friday, get your pass, and you'll be able to breeze through. And I found out that was totally not true.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. Yeah, it's a lie.
Don't believe it, people. Don't believe it. We thought we were going to stand in line. We thought we were going to jump on the mic. Make a little entertainment off of everybody's misery.
Yeah. You know, the line moved so fast, we sort of forgot that we should be recording. So it worked out pretty good. And when things were able to slow down, we were actually able to talk to people.
We're here. Public service announcement. Yeah, Mark and Dan letting you know. Come get your tickets, dude. Come get your tickets. They don't want your tickets. You want your tickets. Come get them.
When I was standing on the vendor Artist Alley line today because the person, you know, kept having to direct people. If this is where you're going, this is the line you have to stand in front of, and you got to be in within the yellow tape.
Right.
You know, and she would say it like every 5 minutes.
Right.
And I'm like thinking to myself, she's got to be tired of saying that.
Right.
Over.
Right.
And over again.
Right.
And but you know, she's a volunteer, and I knew that's what she signed up for.
That's
but
her job.
It was good that she was saying it because I didn't even know where the line ended.
Had to be said.
Right.
Had to be said.
And then the funniest thing that happened when we were going up and down all over around on right. this line trying to figure out like where it goes and how it wraps around.
Right.
The guy that was standing in front of me and I heard this other guy say, "Where is the freaking yellow tape?"
Right.
Because at some point the yellow tape ran out.
Right.
Like someone decided, okay, we don't need yellow tape anymore. Or they didn't anticipate the line being that long.
Right.
Because that was the other thing I was thinking about. I'm like, someone actually had to lay this yellow tape out.
And it's everywhere.
And it was everywhere.
It's everywhere, man.
You know? Yeah. And that could not have been easy. You know? So I was thinking about those things.
Yeah, somebody needs a chiropractor after this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
All that yellow tape to, mm-hmm. to show you where the queue is. Long weekend. And it's not over yet.
Yeah,
we got another hard 48 hours to go on this.
It's definitely not over, but some of the things I'd like to talk about. Okay, what I liked was our fun ride on the elevator last night.
Oh man, Kavika, Mark, and I, we got it done on the elevator. You know what? Yeah, dude, those elevators, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So there is a certain camaraderie
yeah.
that happens at a lot of conventions, and you just don't know when, you know, people are going to connect or when those moments are going to happen. But when they're spontaneous, like they were in the elevator,
right.
I think that's one of the most awesome times or one of the nicest surprises. For example, the elevator was super packed and this guy was cosplaying as a Commander Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation, and he's debating whether or not he's going to get on the elevator, right. and someone yells out, "Riker, get on this elevator." And he gets right. on, and everyone laughs.
Right.
And we're going down, we're trying to get down from our floors to the lobby, and I think it was, who started the shout about lobby, lobby? Do
it's
you
Kavika.
Remember?
Kavika.
Yeah.
It's Kavika.
Yeah. Yeah, she started that and everyone just kind of chimed in.
Kavika's like double con beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everyone chimed in and said lobby. And believe it or not, the elevator went straight to the lobby. There were no local stops on this elevator.
It's like we invoked it. Yeah. She threw some of that big medicine out there.
Right, right.
Some sparkle magic happened. Mm-hmm. Ended up in the lobby.
Yeah,
and you know what was cool about the Riker guy is he was having, I was looking in that man's eyes, mm-hmm. he was having an actual moment of social anxiety. That was real.
Yes.
And part of me was almost like, hey, everybody shut up, this guy's going to take the next elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Respect this.
Right.
What happened? Because I was, my face was being shoved like into the door, right?
well.
I was in the front. You guys got a little bit deep in the back. I was like pretty up, I was looking at this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, get in the elevator. You saw the social anxiety. And when somebody went, get in the elevator, Will.
Right.
What the translation was, this is a safe place in your home now.
Right.
You're safe. Come on.
Fans of these shows are not. Everyone knows who the characters are most of the time. And the fact that we can actually call a person who's cosplaying out by their character name, even in a situation like whether to board an elevator or not, it just, that's what makes a convention like Dragon Con, great.
What else? What else Let's about see. This Dragon Con that you... Now, Mark gets to go home at night. Mark gets to go home to Mark's bed, to Mark's family, to Mark's comfort zone
mm-hmm.
at night. It's like I'm staying in the green zone at the back in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm with a motley crew of individuals who all kind of found each other on the Facebook page.
Right.
You smelled my room. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the displeasure of smelling your room. But to be fair, you know, you did give me a fair warning about it. And I was prepared. You know what I mean?
And they're all decent folks, right?
Right. Right. And, you know, I've raised two teenage boys. And so I know what a funky room smells like. Believe me.
My son just turned 13, Mark. And I got to tell you, his room. It's getting funky smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to happen.
Yeah.
It's starting to happen. Yeah. Dude smell.
I know.
Getting that dude smell going. Dragon Con, man, dude smell, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Not right. as bad on the floor. Last year, I smelled it a lot worse than this year. Out mm-hmm. on the floor, people walking around.
Yeah, like you said, we got another 48 hours. I haven't really smelled anyone, you know, being super funky this year. Yeah, I mean, right? But it's one of the things that goes along with a convention. I mean, I've been to plenty of other conventions.
Oh, it is an old hat.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's something that you would expect.
Right.
And, but, you know, knock on wood, hasn't happened for this year. Right. So that's a good thing. And when I was out at PowerCon in Anaheim, another cool part about the convention is going to the Rankin Bass panel, which I got to late because even though I have an app with my schedule on it, for some reason I thought it was at 3:00 and it was actually at 2:30 and it was already in progress.
Oh.
But I got a chance to ask really good questions, and I stood around towards the end to talk to the presenter, whose name I can't remember right now.
You know, we can make that story double interesting because mm-hmm. I was scheduled to interview this gentleman. And Mark wrote my questions out for me. Here, I've got him. Let me get him.
Let me see if I can find him.
Both Mark and I, we slung our phone. This is like a New West showdown.
Uh-huh.
Let's see who's going to get there first. Who's going to get there?
And
oh, damn it. I bet you got it. Don't
yeah,
you?
I got it already. So the panel was called The Making of the Mad Monster Party that was produced by Rankin Bass.
John Goldschmidt.
Yep. Okay.
John Goldschmidt.
Dan beat me to it. All right. So Rick John Goldschmidt was a really super knowledgeable, nice person and knew a lot about Rankin Bass. So the first panel I did went to was the Star Trek panel that talked about all the exotic aliens from all of the Star Trek series, even the animated series. And it was a pretty cool panel. I learned a lot as well. And it was run by my friends that run the Star Pod Log podcast, which I have also participated on.
It's a good show. They're
yeah,
good
it's really good.
Good people.
Yes. So it was hosted. The panel was hosted by a couple named Kathy and Ryan, which they actually helped me get involved with my first panel at another convention, at a Star Trek convention. And it was great being there to support them and to learn more about Star Trek as a franchise with all the aliens. And they passed the mic around, so you just weren't sitting in the audience and listening. They had people participating and asking questions, and I even answered some trivia questions, and so it just made the panel experience really cool. So I went to go see, one of the highlights was seeing Dan Parent, who works at Archie Comics. He's like one of my favorite artists in the world, and I followed him, you know, as an artist since 1992, and just seeing his work just evolve and just become greater and greater. And he just said that this is the first time that I've never seen a convention where you have to jump from one building to another. And I thought that was kind of interesting because for the people who live here, you know, we felt like it would be great to have it like in one place. Everything's sort of spread out in one place, and that's what you're used to. But when you go to other conventions, like even when you go to Comic-Con out in San Diego, they have that huge convention center.
It's a big-ass place, but one big-ass place.
Right. But right. Even there, some of the panels are spread out to some of the neighboring hotels.
Right.
You know, because it's gotten so much bigger. And I think for people here at Dragon Con, if they've gone here a couple of times, they've just gotten used to it. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of the conventions that I've done the most walking.
I wasn't going to say this to you. I wasn't going to tell you. Last night, you know, Mark and I, Mark showed me a good time downtown. We walked couple miles. We had to get out of the war zone. You know what I'm saying? I woke up with blisters, man. My feet were kind of. I mean,
really?
Yeah. It's not because I'm a fat, overweight degenerate who sits in front of a mic and maybe chain smokes and makes unhealthy choices. My shoes suck. I mean, yeah, me too. Don't tell this guy though. I'm trying to impress him. He's kind of a big deal. Wow. Yeah, that was a heck of a time. Heck of a time. What would you do differently next year? I mean, we're going to Dragon Con next year, right?
Yes, I'm definitely going. I think next year what I would do differently is definitely get a hotel that's closer in so I won't have to be schlepping from Atlanta to Powder Springs and back and forth and, you know, parking at work and all of that kind of shenanigans. And I think I would try to learn, to use the app a little better because there was a whole lot of things going on at Dragon Con that I missed that I didn't even know was happening until after the fact. Unfortunately I found out a lot of these things on Saturday and Sunday when it was too late. So, I think those are the things I would, you know, I'll probably do a little different.
Yeah, I mean, as everybody can tell by my voice, I had a really rad time, Mark. I know you had a super awesome time.
Yes, I did.
Definitely look forward to sharing my Dragon Con with you again next year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Definitely looking forward to our sophomore season at
That's
Dragon
right.
Con.
That's right. We're, author of The Best Saturdays of Our Lives. Where can everybody find the book, Mark?
All right. So if you want to order a copy, a signed copy of my book, you can go to thebestsaturdaysofourlives.com. Or if you don't feel like typing in The Best Saturdays of Our Lives, you can type in the initials of the book, which are T, as in Thomas, B as in boy, S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, L as in Larry.com. And I will send you a signed copy of my book.
Yeah, it's a great book. Everybody go out and buy it. Go buy two. All right, Mark. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Dragon Con was really awesome this year. And it was really great, you know, being able to hang out with you and taking the sights and people watch and all the cosplay and all the craziness of Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah. No, back at you. Back at you, friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next year, everybody. Next year. Be looking for Mark and I. Yeah. Life of the Con. Yeah, one of the staples of Dragon Con is the vendor's room. But you also have Artist Alley. You got the gaming going on here. You know, rolling them 20-sided dice and such. We got video games. We got it all. Vendor's Hall. Let's check it out. So Dragon Con requires a lot of people to put this thing together. So the rest of us can go ahead and have a good time as seamlessly as possible. I have a gentleman with me right now by the name of Isaac Ray. Isaac, can you tell all the good people out there what it is you do for them, for us, for Dragon Con?
Oh, I spend the Wednesday before and the Monday after putting things into the dealer's room and pulling things out of the dealer's room. Got to set all those booths up. Got to tear all those booths down so that you can spend all your wonderful money.
So tell me about your con experience, man. How is it this year from a vendor perspective?
We did pretty well. I think everybody did pretty well. It's always a madhouse, so... It's always hard to tell until you get back and do the numbers.
They implemented a line to get in there because they limit the amount of people now that are in there at any one time. It used to be just kind of free-for-all, right?
Yeah. The line this year was really, really, really long, and I did hear a lot of people complain about it. By the time they get in there, they're too tired to shop. So we're going to have to figure something out next year, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always evolving, you know? If somebody wanted to be a vendor here, you got any advice for them?
Start now. It's going to take you a long time to get your booth together and then to get a spot. So start now.
Any tips for the people coming in to buy?
The secret is wait till Monday.
Hey, and what day is today?
Today is Monday. Get in there and buy stuff.
Right, that's right.
All right, hey, Isaac, my man, appreciate it.
Thank you.
I am here at the Joystick Arcade, Building 1, America's Mart, and I am pleased to be sitting down with Brian Thompson, Game Operations, here at Dragon Con. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. So tell me a bit about this. How did Dragon Con approach you? How did you approach Dragon Con? How did the partnership to bring this awesome classic arcade into here?
But we've had a relationship with Dragon Con going back many years, and it was decided that we should do this. And 4 years ago, well, 3 years ago, in 2016, we did our first year. I think we had 18 games total that year. Went off really well, and it's been better each year since. And now here we are with 27 games.
Very cool. Very cool. What's the mood been like in here?
Oh, it's been fantastic. The response has been phenomenal. Everybody loves it. I've had tons of positive response. So a lot of people reliving their childhoods. You know, they're finding games they haven't seen in years and getting their plays in.
I'm definitely reliving my childhood. Man, I'm telling you. You guys, next year, you got to come on down. This is the arcade that you used to loiter in when you were a kid. If you're Generation X, it's here, and it's all waiting for you. You guys have been going 24 hours, haven't you?
Yeah, it's 24 hours. We started up Thursday when the convention opened at 4 p.m., and we've been going since. We'll shut down at 5 p.m. today.
I walked the floor with you as you were inspecting the machines, making sure everything's cool, making sure everybody's happy. You have a real passion for this. Where does that come from?
It's a labor of love. I have a certain respect for, you know, of course, the games and for the arcade gaming in general. I mean, it's always been a labor of love for me. I've been into pinball ever since I was probably 5 years old. That was my mother's fault. She bowled on a league, and she would give me quarters, and I would go away. So that's kind of where it started, and I've just always been into it. You know, part of it is you see so many of at least some of the old school operators that don't take any care of their games. And we want to be different. You know, there's a lot of us that really actually do care about it. We want them to be the best they can be and bring the best experience to people we can. And that is not just here, but, of course, back at our various places that we work or manage. There's quite a community of us that are into it. And, of course, I work for Joystick Game Bar. I'm the game operations there. And I take the same care of their games as I take care of my own. You go down there, you'll notice every monitor looks nice, the pinballs are playing well, every coin slot is lit up, every marquee works, the games are clean. So it's just to bring the best experience we possibly can. You know, we want to make sure that they're fun and also safe. We don't want anybody to shock off of something or find a sharp edge. So, every little detail.
Growing up, you had video game operators, and video games were these, you know, little sources of entertainment. But as we move forward decade after decade, these are going on 40 plus years.
You're going. Most of these machines are 35 to 37, 38 years old now.
Right. You've gone from really our operator to almost preservationist, archivist. You know, as we move forward, as our generation moves forward, you know, what was considered frivolity is being respected as a part of our living history.
Yeah, absolutely. And, now the parts situation is better than it ever has been because with the resurgence of the popularity of arcade gaming, there's more demand. And hobbyists have gotten into reproducing parts. Larger companies that sell arcade supplies and parts are now have more stuff available. And there's stuff that hasn't been available for since probably the late 80s that is just becoming available this year.
Bringing back that old arcade. Brian, where can people find you?
So I can be found, my usual times down at Joystick are Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm usually there about 12 to 8 p.m. If you want to come say hi. Come on down to the bar, get yourself a drink, play a game, relive your past, have fun. That's what we're all about, just to enjoy.
What's your address? All that.
427 Edgewood Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia, 30312.
Very cool. Very cool. Get on down, everybody. Brian, my man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We could go into so much more, but as they say, we don't want to give away the store. Tune in next year.
You've been listening to the Air Station 1 podcast, a show by fans for fans. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to our show up on iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are found. While you're up there, please rate us and remember to leave feedback. It would greatly be appreciated. And remember to tell your friends all about us while you're at it. Air Station 1 is available on most social media sites where you can join some really great topics or chats. Help support our show by shopping through our Amazon.com link or purchasing very cool ESO Network clothing and merchandise at our TeePublic store. Links to both are found on the top of our ESO Network webpage. Become a patron of the ESO Network by backing us up on Patreon for as little as 25 cents a week. Go to patreon.com/ESO Network to sign up. We want to hear from you. Please write us at earthstation1@esonetwork.com or call us at 404-963-9057. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time here on the Earth Station 1 podcast. Peace, and we're done.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.